Were there a lot of live animals at the circus?
No, sir. No animals.
Oh, that makes me feel better.
And no 4-H stuff. So cause, even though it's like a state fair, they didn't have any.
They weren't walking them out being judged. Yeah. They're big old sheep.
4-H.
Sorry, Caitlin.
Yeah. You tell we're from Utah.
I'll stand by passengers. See me at the podium. Your seat is empty.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Monique, Laura, and Tyler are three friends that work for a major airline as gate agent, flight attendant, and ramp worker. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel and things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Non-Rev Lounge. I'm Monique.
I'm Tyler.
Lara.
And this will be our Christmas show.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Isn't it crazy we're finishing another year?
It is crazy.
Yes.
We'll hear about kind of some stuff I did in Europe in my debacle. But first off, I want to ask you guys a few things. This is old news now because we're recording. It's new news to us recording, but we're recording a few weeks early.
Okay.
Oh, so yesterday for us, they announced Alaska and Hawaiian are merging.
What?
You didn't know that?
No.
Wait.
Oh, that's a very... I thought you were faking that.
So they told me at customs. The customs officer came over and told me.
Yeah.
Hawaiian and Alaska are merging.
Are merging. Alaska's buying Hawaiian. So apparently they're going to keep two...
Chester's getting married to that lady.
The two separate airlines. Kind of like KLM and Air France are one, but also separate.
Okay. I feel like I'm such a not aviation person.
So on the flight home yesterday... I had told Katie all my opinions on it. And then she's sitting behind me telling this other guy, random person, about it. And I was like cringing because I was like, that's not what I said. But it was interesting. But yeah, so they're merging. So.
Okay. So that's just, so you said they're going to stay different. So it's not like you'll be flying Alaska for your interline, like Hawaii, like
so
island hopping.
Apparently, I don't know. It's all very fresh. And by the time this comes out, you're like, oh, there's so much more people will hear us. But Hawaiian will become one world probably.
Okay.
They say they're separate, but I don't see them staying separate. I think like Air France and KLM are two countries. Like those are their flagship carriers, even though these are like the flagship of Alaska, Seattle, and Hawaii. After a while, I think they're going to merge. If they are going to, it'll be one. I don't know what it'll be called or what it'll look like.
What's the name of that Hawaiian lady that's on that plane? Because Chester's getting married to her.
Yeah. Ashley will be so sad. Is that her name?
Yeah. Well, no, Ashley, our guest.
Yeah.
She actually just passed away like a few weeks ago.
The lady they actually used.
But remember she talked about how like they are very strict on their branding.
Yeah, and you can't put her on the ground.
So Doug and Drew on Next Trip Podcast, they have thought that was a good idea for a long time. And I've always said, I don't think it's a good idea. I think Alaska and JetBlue make sense. East Coast, West Coast together to cover the whole country.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great idea. I didn't think that Hawaii, because Hawaiian does their own thing, right?
Yeah. And they're good at it.
But they're struggling though.
Are they?
They are struggling since COVID.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They've been struggling for a bit. So they're selling for like 1.9 million, billion, billion.
Okay. That's what I was like, I'll buy that then.
I got a credit card. But that's still pretty low. It's kind of funny. Alaska just got rid of their 321 Neos, and now they're getting a bunch of new Neos. Because there are a lot of Hawaiians, very Airbus, the 330s, the Neos. They do have the 717s. They're going to retire. And they're getting Dreamliners. But it's a lot of... So I didn't think it was a good mix. But so apparently people that... make more money than me. Yeah.
Do you want to know what I think?
Gosh, that's what I ask.
I think American should have bought them. That would open up the Asian markets for American.
For Hawaiian or Alaska or both?
No, American should have bought Hawaiian.
Oh, okay. I thought the American should have bought Seattle just so they could have that hub because American doesn't have a good West Coast hub.
Well, I think they're already one world with them.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're already kind of getting the revenue from that.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works. But Hawaiian, I know American struggles in the Asian markets.
Yeah, it would give them.
It would have given them kind of an inlet, like some more of a market in there, I feel like.
The problem is American's the biggest airline in the world, and they're not going to let them get bigger. They're already like, the government has to still approve it. And so I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, that came out yesterday, or as you're listening to this, 3 weeks ago. But it was interesting. It'll be an interesting change.
Yeah. What if they just put each of their faces on the tail on each side?
It'd be interesting to see how they rebrand it. It would be cool to see. We talked about the More to Love plate that Alaska just got rid of. Mm-hmm. Have that on the new Dreamliners.
More to Love.
Yeah.
I still think it's kind of cool that Chester's marrying a Hawaiian girl.
Yeah. What if they actually put them together in like an engagement photo?
If you Google, I'm sure you can find her name. It's like Leia, probably.
I think it is something like that.
Another thing that happened recently is I had a couple of my PNRs get canceled by our airline.
What?
I had two trips planned within like 4 days, separate ones, to Orange County.
Oh. Yeah. They just went in and canceled them? That's how they told you?
I got an email, and then it's like, as I clicked on it, it disappeared on both of them. Because I had two separate ones. I was planning on connecting Orange County twice within like a week.
Well, so, we kind of talked about why, though, a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
I don't think on the podcast, but we've talked about it.
Oh, we just talked about it in person. Yeah. Okay.
Because they're limited on how many people can fly in there, and our airline has like over it, right?
We've already exceeded it, yeah.
So I was like, oh, maybe I can buy a 20% discount ticket, and the prices are crazy high, even though there's tons of seats. It's like $600 from Orange County to Phoenix, where you can get like $120 from Ontario to Phoenix.
Is it just how many people? It's not necessarily the aircraft?
I'm not sure all the rules, but they do have, rules, kind of like you can't fly later than they have a curfew. You've probably heard more from me than me. Is it like, tolls per year or?
I think it's per year.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, because the thing is, I think we'd already almost hit our limit like a month or two ago.
Oh, really?
Because all of a sudden we were having flights that were oversold by like 30, 40. And us as gate agents were like, what the heck is happening?
They're downgrading.
Yeah. Because they were just downgrading like crazy.
Okay.
Because we were like, holy crap, how are we supposed to?
Gate agents. Every time there's a change, man, it affects the gates.
So I hope you weren't planning on flying to Orange County.
Well, not anymore. The only thing that's a bummer now is we don't even have JSX as an option to non-urban.
So I'm interested to see if I could Zed out of there because I have a guaranteed seat in there on one of my flights. And then I was going to non-urban out.
Well, and I think I heard it was almost the same for all the airlines across the board, though.
Oh, really? So I haven't heard that from other ones, but I'm hoping that Southwest it still stays open because they have a ton of seats on the flight I need, but if they embargo it.
Well, so there was kind of a message that was sent out to us that said, it doesn't matter how empty the flight, it just no non-revs are going in and out.
Yeah. You can't even list anymore, yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy because, like you said, even if the flight is open, you could buy a ticket. It's just super expensive. So
if you were looking to Zed on our line, I think you could still get loads if you ask them on Staff Traveler, but you can't get on. They won't let you denied on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look into other options if you're flying in Orange County this year.
Yeah, so sorry if you have Disneyland plans.
You have to go to LAX and
get over there.
Yeah. All righty. Let's get back to the debacle that happened.
So we had our meeting. We sat down at breakfast.
Back to the...
Go ahead. What's the debacle?
That my passport was going to expire.
It was too soon.
Yeah.
Too close to expiration.
So... My suggestion now would be get your passport renewed before 6 months.
Because there are other countries that require 6 months.
I think you should be safe. If you're listening to this and you're not, write us and then we'll talk about it. If you even think six, like before six, I would say.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Just that way you're covered. You've got it.
For.
And depending on how long it takes to get your passport back.
Yeah.
You've got it back in time to travel and for sure.
Or at very least, don't take for granted. Like if you think, that should be open like I did. Get in and look. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back to last week because this is a new show, even though we're recording together. And my passport is going to expire. And so the EU won't let me in to the trip we had, the podcast trip.
So sad.
Recording, I know, so sad. Business trip. Yeah.
We were taking our big first like international trip all together.
That's what it was. I was excited. It was the first time we were going to record out of the country because Laura and I have been out of the country. We've been to Mexico for your wedding, but that was our first time we've been all together flying and maybe our last, because maybe you guys don't want to go with me anymore, which I get. Yep.
No, I still want to do a trip together.
I'm on the fence.
It's fine. You hold grudges. I think it's all the Walker jokes that I say.
Well, Laura also does really enjoy a guided tour.
I do.
Where they tell her already, get your passports, where everything's already checked.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. I say you would have liked with the guide tour we did this with the idea. So I was ready to not go home, but just get out of London. I was so excited for the Christmas markets and we had a good time with you that night and we saw those.
In London.
In London.
And we ate Toasties.
What are Toasties? Toasties are grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese with onion sauce.
Onion jam.
Onion jam.
Oh,
my. So good.
Ooh. They were good. Yeah, they were good. And it was cool. Like, if you're in London, like, especially if you're one of Lara's people, when in the mafia, and so you go to London a lot, get out. Don't just close the door and go see all these things. There's a few little, say the word, Jester, like, I say it wrong.
Oh, Leicester Square.
Leicester Square
is my favorite one. So I'm sad that you didn't do it, but I really wanted you to see the one that was on the Thames River.
Yeah.
Because it's beautiful.
So there's those two and Regent Street. Mm-hmm. With the, they have lights. The big, yeah, lights and the angels like hanging above of the street.
Is Regent Street by Piccadilly Circus?
No, Oxford Circus. So you get off on the tube, you'd get off at the Oxford Circus.
Okay, oh, stop.
We did Leicester Turn. We didn't do it with you though. We did it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm talking like I know. I've been downtown London once. So.
Yeah, you can't do Regent Street. You just say Oxford Circus.
Okay.
And then.
Yeah. So you guys did that, and then when you guys went on, we went the first night, the next day. So we're still trying to figure out what to do. We went in and checked out some of the Priority Pass restaurants. In London, some of the restaurants are outside of security.
Oh,
so you don't even have to go into security. So we didn't realize that till we booked a flight on British Airways to JFK, where they will allow us to go because of passports, to go hit the restaurants and stuff, and then we were just going to cancel it and leave. That is not easy in Heathrow. Leaving Heathrow is not easy.
Oh, really?
It's not like any other airport in the States where you just walk out.
Yeah.
We had to get a manager to walk us out, and he only does it once an hour.
Interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
So it's not like you can just go use the Priority Pass lounges and leave. So we went to the lounge. We went and got a massage at the massage in Heathrow, and they're like, hey, we need to leave because actually the restaurant is outside of security. We didn't realize that. And they's like, okay, we'll cancel your listing. So we did that, and they said in 45 minutes our manager will walk you out. We're like, oh, like, well, what do we had another quick,
and you didn't have checked bags?
No, because we were just going.
Yeah. So something, I don't understand why it would be such a big deal about for you to leave.
Because he had to walk. We had to go back through customs again.
There's no door. There's no door out.
Yeah. It's not like, because people, it's in international. Everything's in international.
Yeah. That's.
So I was like, the massage was nice for 30 minutes, but it wasn't worth the hassle of.
Well, also I found listing on British Airways to be a pain in the butt.
Oh, it was so hard.
I feel like it wasn't an easy process.
Yeah, it was a bit of a hassle. So maybe I should have done United and went to Terminal 2 or something instead. But well, anyway.
Side note real quick too. When I was trying to list on British Airways, we were on the train from Cologne to Amsterdam. So their British Airways website was in German. And it wouldn't translate for me. So I was getting very frustrated trying to
read it.
And read German.
Yeah. Trying to translate it with my other. Anyway, it was. So I can. Yeah. It was just a pain in the butt.
I've been able to. We've listed on British Airways a number of times and flown them.
So you've got the system down.
No, but it's still a hassle. And it's not instant. Usually 20 minutes later, it'll be like, all right, you're approved. Like, here's your ticket. It's like, why isn't Southwest?
Yeah.
Just get us the. Anyways. Mm-hmm. So if you go Terminal 5, Terminal 5 is amazing. I don't know if you guys went in there. It's such a big Heathrow. It's huge.
We did to go out.
Did we?
Okay. Yeah, that was Terminal 5 that we went out of.
Okay.
You went out of 5?
Uh-huh.
To?
No, we came in. I came into 5. I'm sorry. I came into 5 and went out of 3.
Yeah. You went out of 3? Or was it 2? Anyways.
We leave out of 3. We came into 4.
Yeah.
And I came into 5.
And you had to change terminals.
Because I was at, oh yeah. And I took the train. There's a little train and it's the same train. It's the tube, but it stops.
Oh.
Yeah.
At all the terminals. It's pretty slick because when I did it, the Egypt trip, that train was under construction or they were maintenance or something. So we all had to take the buses and that was a nightmare.
Oh, really?
So this train was really slick.
Yeah, they were.
We got to know that train pretty well in a couple of days.
So you guys decided to stay. Did you decide to stay at the same hotel or what
yeah,
happened?
Yeah, so with our points, we could, because we didn't have any hotels booked now for the time that I was. So I booked another night to use points for another 3 nights.
Oh, and okay, good.
So even though it wasn't close to downtown, which would have been nice, we just took the train in and out every time. So we went to the airport and then we went down to Leicester Square, which was actually a good, it's a small market compared to the ones you saw, very small. But it's nice. You've been there.
It's nice. And it's in the theater district. So you've got all the theaters around it.
But there was so many people because Beyonce was performing outside next to it later. And so it was packed.
Oh, I'm sure. People I'm just so camping sorry. Out, getting ready yeah, for that.
Yeah, just they were so excited and people dressed up for it or something to that. We're like, what's happening?
Single ladies.
Yeah, so it was packed. But we got inside and did the around there and ate some of the food there. So we got to see the Christmas market there.
What food did you eat? Did you have bratwurst again?
I did. We had a broth. And then we went to another market. We walked down. We went to a couple in that area. Good. Uh-huh. Because it was like three. They still are smaller compared to like the German ones. But they were nice. I mean, it was, if you're in London, you should go see that one. We went to
Trafalgar Square.
Yeah, uh-huh. We went there.
With the big old lion statues?
Yeah, it was uh-huh. small. But they had a couple of markets kind of up top there. That's where we had the bratwursts. And it was expensive. You said how cheap things were. They're not cheap in
Just oh, really?
Just the hot dog was like $14.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were three or four. Yeah. We had brats too. They were like three or four.
Nine pounds. But you look at it later, I was like, that's like $14. Like, it wasn't that good. So.
Oh, wow. No, I think our brats were like four or five.
$4.50. Yeah, they were nine, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything in London is expensive. And it was, yeah, that's what I was looking.
Did you split it or did you eat your own?
We shared it.
Yeah, because they like to share.
Well, then we can try more things. Yeah. Like you can get loaded on one thing and then it'd be full, or else you can try to. And then we had a couple other things. So that was what we did the first night. And so if you're in London, go do that. The next thing, the next day, we went to another party pass at Terminal 3, where we go in and out of all the time because there's a restaurant outside of security. So we had to deal with like security. Mm-hmm. Went and had a nice breakfast, and then we took the train in.
Like, now you knew don't go inside because then you'd have to be escorted out.
It was a different terminal. Yeah, a different terminal, different restaurant.
Yeah.
And so we got breakfast covered for us, basically. And then we went to High Bark. That was our day for the day. Good. And that's what
you went to Wonderland?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's what you did a couple years ago that we bought tickets for. And then that was the COVID year.
That was.
Uh-huh. And so we couldn't get cleared.
That's right.
That's why we didn't go with you. I just remember because when we had dinner that night. I was trying to figure out why didn't we do that? Because flights were open. It was the fact that we were worried about it getting cleared, and you're like, we're still doing it. I said, okay. And we said, we're just going to meet you in Germany.
So you have to pay to go inside this? So it's not a Christmas market. It's like a Christmas festival?
No, it's a carnival.
It felt like, yeah, a state fair mixed with like a Six Flags.
Oh, okay. So like a step up.
Huge, pretty big rides that they put in like temporary, but I felt like they were pretty big for... It wasn't just like a small carnival, even though it was a carnival. And then they have Christmas market in it.
Okay.
Where they sell all the food and trinkets. They have rides. They had some really cool things. Like if you're in London at Christmas time, you should do that. You should go see that.
Is it like price-wise? You said everything's expensive in London.
It's £7 to walk in.
Oh.
I think ours was £5 to get in. And if you went...
It depends on timing, probably.
Timing and the day of the week. We went on Friday, which was peak, which was more expensive. So it was like $5 to get in. Unless you were going to spend so much, then they would waive the £5.
If you bought the Bavarian dinner in the Germantown area, then they'll waive it.
They didn't have that this time. They didn't, that I remember. But if you
they do online.
Oh, they do online.
So if you do online, and then you can buy your rides too, prepay for your rides.
Ours was just like, if you paid over £25, then they'd waive the £5 entrance fee.
Yeah. You could buy it in the food or the rides. Because so we bought that slide.
We did the ice slide.
Oh, you did that. Good.
We did the ice slide. They have this like little, it's not as huge, but this ice slide, and you hike up and then you ride the tube down twice.
Okay.
They make you wear a helmet.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
At the Princess, they don't make you wear a helmet.
The Princess?
The Princess Hotel,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
In Scottsdale, yeah. They do a Christmas thing.
So they have the slide.
So you still have to pay for rides inside, but entry was only £5-7.
Yeah, I think they probably had like an unlimited pass on the rides, but we didn't have our kids and we didn't want to throw up, so we decided not to do rides. We did end up buying later the Ferris wheel.
Oh, pretty. Aww.
Katie was terrified.
Oh, was it open? Like open?
No, it's closed, but she still was so nervous. But I said, let's do it. It was pretty high, and I got some good videos I'll have to share.
Well, you sent one, and I said, is this from the eye?
Because
I could tell it was up high.
Yeah, it's pretty high. So we timed it so it would be like right at sunset. Aww. So we could see the lights from there, because it's like a Christmas lights with carnival lights, and then also still see out to London a little bit. So it was a good timing for that. We also did a circus. Did you go to the circus?
No.
Circus was cool. That was really cool. They have a couple of shows a night, and it was like professional circus.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they did all kind of acrobat stuff. And
so those people are incredible.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. And shooting thing, like a guy shot an arrow like at someone's over someone's head, but you using a mirror or a phone, they couldn't see them. They were just using the reflection.
What?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
They had the, you know, the big cage things, circle cage where they put the motorcycles in and go around.
Oh, I saw that video. You sent me a video.
So it had like four of them spinning around and not hitting each other because it's really small. But yeah, you could tell it was good. It was like 45 minutes long and we paid for extra for that.
How much did you pay for that? Do you remember?
I think the whole thing was like $88 for the whole day.
And oh, we got, that's nothing.
For both of you?
Yeah, for both of us. It wasn't too bad. I think it was like $15 or pounds per person for the circus. So we get the slide, the circus. We added the Ferris wheel. Did you do the ice castle?
No, but I saw it. I'm like, yeah.
How big was it?
They have this like warehouse thing where they make it freezing cold. Uh-huh. And we paid to go and then you walk through it. And they have these huge sculptures of the people have professionally done and turn ice. So it was like negative degrees inside. So mm-hmm. we were freezing. We were bundled up, but still it was very cold. And it was amazing. The big things. I have a bunch of pictures we took.
I'm excited to see your pictures.
Yeah. So it was really cool. It was really cool and very cold. But
kind of like your polar bear at the ice bar.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. But they had huge things that they had carved and some very like finite, like very detailed carvings into this ice.
Were they working on those and making more while you were walking through?
There was some where they were, I think you could pay for it, where they you could watch them make some. But the ones inside there were done. Like it was a final product. But you could pay extra and work on the ice carving.
Nice. It's so, a really big carnival, isn't it? I mean, it's really large.
It is. Like the whole Hyde Park thing. Uh-huh. It is. It's huge. Like,
and when you're flying over, you can look down and you can actually see it in the park.
Those lights, yeah. Because it's big. Yeah. And we went in. So we did breakfast and then went down. We tried to get there like at 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. And we left by 7:30.
Wow.
Because we got a tour the next day. And when we left, there was just lines. It's a Friday night getting in
at
7:30. There was so many people trying to get in that it was, we're glad we got out when we did.
Yeah. And I do recommend going online and getting reservations.
Yeah.
To go in. Especially as you get closer to Christmas.
What else did you do in that?
That's it.
Okay.
I ate the Bavarian Village. Drank some beer and they had a German
tons of band. Food. Tons of uh-huh. food and they had tons a polka of
band.
Yeah, there was we sit and listened to this live music. This lady was singing and she was really good. Singing some Fleetwood Mac and some other stuff.
I love the ice, the slide.
Yeah.
That was ice fun. Slide. It was so fun.
But I would go if you're there again, if you're there for a day or if you have a layover there, I'd go check that out. Go early, as as you can, because especially on the weekends in December, it's going to get crazy.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
But yeah, it was fun.
Did they have little booths set up? Last year, they had little booths set up every now and then where you could buy marshmallows and chocolate, and you could make s'mores. They gave you a stick, and you could cook. It was like just a little square thing with fire in there.
I didn't see that, but we had some amazing food. We had a pulled pork sandwich, all kinds of like churros where you start with them making churros. Fresh. And then seasoning them. Yeah, it was kind of that.
They also have a mac and cheese. The Mac and Cheese Factory is a restaurant in there. There's a couple of different places. I mean, it's a chain. But they have a booth there.
Okay.
And that's so
good. There was so many food. I was like, I don't know what to pick because you only have so much room you can eat. So I was like, oh, the food looked and tastes amazing from everywhere I saw.
Yeah.
They had this one carousel thing. What's it called?
But
it doesn't have the animals on it. It was a bar.
A bar?
So we went into it, could kind of like just write it down. I was like, is this really smart to have a bunch of people drinking and then have to step off of a moving thing? Because constantly moving.
And it was like already to be spinning.
Merry-go-round?
Merry-go-round. Carousel is like the baggage carousel. Merry-go-round. It was like a merry-go-round, but it was a big one that just like, you know how the animals on it? But it was just like a bar in there. You can go sit down and it was slowly just turning.
Sign me up, Scotty.
So, yeah, we went in there for a few minutes.
See, that would make, just the sound, it makes me want to hurl.
It wasn't spinning fast. It was pretty slow, but it still was.
I think it'd still be enough. Anything moving like that.
It'd be interesting to sit and watch the people drinking and then try to get off there because you had to like step out quickly. So, Hyde Park's cool. It's... I would suggest midweek, and if you're going to do the weekend, do early. Get in and get out, because just seeing those lines. Look,
yeah. Well, to me, that sounds like a pretty incredible deal to get in, though, because it sounds so. I've, like I said earlier, like the Princess Hotel in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
I think entry is almost like $50 a person.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. It's super expensive. So that's just entry in there. And then you still have to buy your own food and you've got like a Ferris wheel and stuff as well. So it sounds almost like that, but on steroids. And you get in for,
There's also an ice bar in there too at Hyde Park.
See, yeah, that's. If you're there, that sounds like a great deal.
Yeah, they did have ice bar, too.
Check it out.
Because I remember you said you did ice stuff. I didn't know if it was the ice palace that we did or the ice bar. I was assuming
Drew and I did the ice bar. It was just like our ice bar.
Oh, was it?
But no beer. It was like little drinks, not shots. I like the one we did, too.
Shot.
Yeah, so we still got Christmas stuff. If you're looking for like real Christmas stuff, I think Germany, that area is better. But it was still like, it was a fun Christmas atmosphere. I wanted to take the kids back. I think they would love the rides. Still some Christmas stuff. So,
what did you just say? Still some Christmas stuff?
Still has some Christmas stuff.
Oh, still has some Christmas. Oh. Still some lights. Like, get their little hands in there.
Okay.
Fill their pockets.
And then what did you do the next day? Because you said you had a tour.
And then we had one more day, our last day there. We had never been out west to the castle.
Windsor
Castle.
Mm-hmm.
That was your first time out at Windsor?
Yeah, never been. Even though it's not far from like the airport, we had never been there. So we end up finding, Craig was telling me all these trains to take and things, and we end up just booking a tour for the day. It was like a 12-hour tour. We had to meet downtown London. So you had to go back into London to meet a tour, then turn around and go back out to where we were because we were out by the airport. And we did Windsor. We did Stonehenge. And then we did Bath.
Oh, you did Bath. Yay.
You did all three of them in one day.
In the one day.
That's a way to do it.
That's a busy day.
Yeah. So there's pros and cons to it. It was kind of like if you're on a cruise boat and you hit a spit out for a couple hours and you're like, this is great, but I want to be here more.
Yeah.
Because you know how Katie is, my wife.
We made the joke when we were in Germany, that she would have still read every sign, even though it was in German.
Yeah, so
she wouldn't understood it, but she would have still read it. Yeah, because Katie will read every placard, every sign when she's on, like, out.
So you've been to the castle, so you can kind of help tell what it's about. Who lives there? The king? Sometimes?
It used to be, where the queen was all the time. I don't know.
Oh, it was
Charles. She wasn't in Balmoral. That's where she was.
It was her like main residence was out at Windsor. And then she'd go to...
We saw her resting place.
Did she?
She's there. Yeah, she's in the St.
She's St. George?
George, yeah.
Chapel.
Yeah, so we saw her, like where... She doesn't have like a big thing though. She's like in the ground.
My gosh, she's the longest
running. I think she was going to be down,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know if they'd have like a big... You know, like have a...
Well, it's still so recent. I don't know if they're going to do...
Yeah, I said that too. I said maybe they're still making it.
Because she probably is going to have a huge gaudy old something. Thing, yeah. But yeah, very cool. Windsor was one of my favorite stops when I went with mom and dad.
So we were in line before they opened, waiting in the queue to get in with our tour. And they opened it up at 10 and we had to be back at the bus at 11:20.
Oh, crap.
That's not a lot of time.
No. It's not a lot of time at all. And so we could have gotten an audio tour. And I said, if you want to see this, Katie, because she would love to spend 30 minutes in every room.
Oh, yeah.
I said, we got to go. Yeah. We got to just walk. And we did. We went through the chapel. What's the big thing about it? A lot of people get married there.
It has a ton of history there. That's where like the big knights back in the day.
Okay.
That's like where a lot of them were buried. They were knighted there. Like there's a lot of history in that chapel. There's a lot of famous people even buried in there like that. And
They were like Westminster. Like
that's, both of them. Oh, both. Okay. If you look at both, there's a lot of famous people also in like royalty. Buried. Harry and Meghan were married in that chapel.
Yes,
like,
they were. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I learned a lot about it. I would have spent a couple hours just
And we had to just chapel. Like walk. And so even myself that I was like, okay, we're moving. This is cool. It's usually like, I'm not a big castle person. And then we went into the states rooms.
Oh, cool. Cool.
But I was looking at my watch going, we got to go. There was no learning. It was like CCC.
Did so they have their big Christmas tree set up in there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so we need to go back sometime and.
Well, and they have like the whole changing of the guards there.
We
saw
that too. They did that right in front of us so that we were like waiting for that to get done so we could get back to the bus because we can't make the best of the bus. So
because it's almost as big a deal there as it is at Buckingham with the changing of the guards there. Yeah.
So that was, I had the video of them marching out with the.
Cool.
Yeah.
You can probably get closer and see that better out there at Windsor than you can at Buckingham sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that was cool. But it was, we want to go back and spend, because there's like a town around it too.
Mm-hmm. Cute little town.
We're walking out.
That's where Brittany lived. She lived right over there.
And we ate some donuts because like right there outside of the walls before like the train stop, there's like these little shops and stuff. Like, and so we had to get back to the bus.
Yeah.
It was nice. We got to see all three because we had one day. So we got to knock all three out and with the rides were covered. But it was like, even for myself, it was like, this is rushed. We need to come back and just sit on the grounds a little bit and take it in. So
where did you go after that?
Then we went to Stonehenge.
That's like an hour and a half, two?
Something like that. And so they took us there. Have you done Stonehenge?
Yes.
Have you done it, Laura?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was cool. It was...
See, I would be fine with an hour at Stonehenge.
I don't even think you need an hour.
I was going to say, that would be plenty. Yeah. So you don't need that long to
and see it. We didn't have too long, but I mean, still with the driving that far.
Yeah.
By the time they pull up, like we got out, rocked on the bus, the shuttle that takes you out there, which I was talking to our dad because our dad was, when was he in England? When did he his missionary work?
78, 79.
Did he tell you how that? I'm sure he told you the story.
Did you say they just took their bikes out to it?
Yeah, they took a train into the town and then they rode their bikes and put the bikes against the rocks. Like he said, it was very different than it was nowadays. Like,
yeah, you could touch a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now they have like a little rope, at least a couple years ago.
Yeah, they had
it was
a
like a rope to. Did stop you.
Because Henry was saying, you should go to this one because you could touch them. I was like, I can touch these ones. This rope isn't stopping me.
It's funny.
So it was really foggy and it was really cold. So it was kind of like this. It was really kind of pretty.
It was kind of mystical.
Kind of in its own way. So, but it was cool. It was interesting. And
it's cool to do once, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you go with someone new, but it's not something you need to do multiple times.
No, exactly.
Yeah, because I went with my mom and my sister and then I took Drew there. When Drew and I went to London, and then I went with a crew.
So you went all the way out there, front with the crew and back?
Yeah.
Did you have a long overnight?
It canceled. So.
Oh, so you had an extra day.
Yeah. So we went out there and we drank on the bus all the way out there, slept all the way back.
Well, it's so iconic. Like it's, yeah, everyone knows pretty much about Stonehenge. So it's cool to be able to say you've been there, you've seen it.
But Katie got the audio guide and she was like doing the slow walk. And I was like, oh, let's get back. Because we went back and ate in their little. We'd bought food before and just ate in their cafeteria and then we're back on the bus. Like it wasn't very long.
Yeah.
And then from there we went to Bath.
I liked Bath. I thought that Bath was really cool.
Bath seemed awesome. Like it's such a cool town.
Didn't Beryl ask you, are you going to go Bath?
Yeah. Because I think
she loved
kind
it.
Of sent a similar tour. We only had 2 hours in Bath too. Cause that long a day and plus driving all the way back. And we had tickets to see the Bath. Did you go see the actual?
Yeah.
Okay. So we did those tours.
Well, and the cathedral in Cologne reminded me of a lot of exactly. What in Bath.
And Bath had a really cool Christmas market.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yeah. It was packed. There were so many people.
Wow.
Oh, cute.
And the tour guide's like, usually Bath is like quiet and kind of quaint compared to London. Not right now. Like, it is packed. So we got to walk through their market after we got out of the tour. But Katie wanted to see more. And I was like, we got 25 minutes. So whatever you can see. But it was just like person to person, like in that market.
But you knocked out 3 big things in one day.
Yeah, we got to see 3 and then just crashed. But Bath is cool. I was like, I need to come back and spend a couple of days. Bath. Apparently, they had a rugby match in town too. So there was like markets weekend. It was a Saturday night and the rugby match. It was a packed town. And it was like, it seemed like a old, really cool town though. And as we were driving in, they pointed out the river, looked really pretty, but we didn't get to stop and see it. But yeah, the ancient baths, Katie was loving that. I
remember the amount of like placards with information, and I bet Katie was just soaking all that up.
Yeah. And talking to all the guides like that were working there and asked it. But it was cool. I would have rather went to a place where I could get in the bath. Like, was it Kelsey last year went to, was it Romania or?
She did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On her Christmas one. And so she actually, that would be cool.
But did you feel the water? Because I believe you could still feel the water. I feel like we put our hands in.
We didn't put it in like the main one. They had a place where you could drink it. That they.
Okay.
So I tasted it. And it was, you didn't taste it?
You did taste it?
I don't just a little bit. Katie made that fast one. Yeah.
Amoebas. That's why I wouldn't do it.
Oh.
They go into your brain.
Well, you live with a nurse, you'll be fine.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was our day. It was cool to see those things, but again, like kind of like a cruise, like you go to a place and you're like, hey, I gotta go back now. So I could spend it, we could take a train out to Bath and spend a couple of days and
spend the night there. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I need to see if I can get some points to get a hotel out there for a night or two.
Well, I think that's part of what I loved with my trip with mom and dad a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Is I feel like we got to do like really experience those pieces outside of London.
Okay.
And like really get to see them. And then we spent our time in London and got to see everything.
Turn the car in.
Yeah. So we got to do all of that combined.
Nice.
Which is cool.
So we made the most of our 3 days there.
Good.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It sounds like you had a good time.
Yeah. Cause I was kind of like, you're pretty sad. Like your
yeah.
Australia thing. I was like, oh. But once we kind of figured that out, I was like, okay, this is good.
Yeah. Well, so getting home, you guys were going to take one of the early flights out that you should have had a good chance at good seats because people really can't connect in.
Yeah.
To make those flights.
That's what we had talked about leaving the next day because we were in recording. And so, and I didn't think that there would be an issue at all putting our spouses on the flights to London to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And as Lara started mentioning before I cut her off, last week, that weekend, things in Europe kind of went to crap because of a storm that went through, right? Because it had been beautiful weather in London the whole time we were there
mm-hmm.
until the morning we left. But in Munich, they had that storm, which
it shut down Munich.
Yeah. Like they had that, just was iced and snow. And what was it like in Amsterdam? Was it, did you see, was well, it snowing?
It was snowing. Remember when we first walked out?
Yeah.
It snowed and then it turned into sleet.
And then it was when we were driving into the airport, though, it was massive fog.
Oh, you really? Couldn't see anything.
Yeah. So that's what we were like, fog will shut down flights.
And that was
so yeah. quick, too. Yeah.
And I was saying to the girls, I go, do you hear any takeoffs? Because I don't hear any takeoffs or landing.
Oh, really?
And it's, you know, airport. So it's one of the most busy.
I wonder if it's like San Francisco when that fog comes in, it just kind of shuts it down.
Well, but by the time we got up to the gate, we looked out the window and it was lifting.
Yeah, okay. So that's
rapidly.
Like, yeah, it made us feel better. We're like, okay, I can kind of see a little ways away. So that, yeah.
And we're leaving on a Sunday morning, the very first flight. You know, there's your non-rev pro, you know, first flight. There was one at 7 a.m. on British Airways. And then KLM had one at
7:20.
So you guys both listed for both of them?
Yeah, yes. Just to okay. make sure.
Yeah.
When we got lucky.
Were they close though?
We were lucky. They were like literally, well, they were, it said four gates, but it really was like, two gates down
oh, nice.
In the hallway. So we were able to run back and forth between the two okay. of them and kind of try to figure out what was going on. Because we weren't able to get KLM's loads before. So we didn't know
yeah.
until the agent showed up at the gate what it even looked like.
Okay.
That's like I'm saying. If it's got 20 open, it's a no-brainer. That's one we'll take.
Yeah.
But we got there and they were like, it's full.
Okay.
And we were like, oh, crap.
I wonder if they had something that kind of filled it up. Because that early going to a non-hub, like just it seemed like they were. But, it seemed like there should be something on it. So.
Yeah, and they were sending out alerts, though, saying that they were going to limit the departures out of that airport
oh, okay.
on Sunday.
Well, and their 7 a.m. the day before it canceled.
Oh, so there was...
So I was sitting there going, oh, okay, what's going to happen with this one?
Yeah.
But the KLM was super nice to us. Super nice. That's it. The gate agent was talking to me, and she was like, we're so full. She goes, but we may be able to get you in the jump seat.
Okay.
And I wanted to be like, I'm not qualified. But I just kept my mouth shut because I remember hearing from other people that's not their policy. And
yeah, it's different over there.
It's different over there. And you could even get, according to Brittany, in the flight deck jump seat.
So yeah, so I was just like, okay. I was nervous because I didn't want to be in the way. Like, and I didn't know what to do really in the jump seat. But I was like, if that's going to get us to London, we'll have so many more options of getting out and
yeah.
chance at better seats. So let's, like, we knew, like, we wanted to get to London. So we were going back and forth through British Airways. When they showed up at British Airways, the agents finally... They gave Lara a seat.
They had one left.
Okay.
So I got a seat assignment, 7B.
So we were like, okay, she's got a seat assignment. There's a chance if people don't show up, we may get a seat over there.
So when did you get yours? When you checked in or when you got the
ticket? No, until when the gate agents arrived,
okay.
which was about, I don't know, 6:30. They arrived yeah. and started boarding right away.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
See, I can see the British Airways being full or going into London because then they're going to connect out. So I thought your chance would be better on KLM. Than on British Airways, but it sounds like they're both pretty full.
And
they both went out 100% full.
So that's, yeah. So then the British Airways, so they was leaving first. So I kind of went over, kind of checked in with KLM. I was like, you know, we can always do British, try that, and then run back over if we don't make it. So anyway, we're British. They say there's two people. He's not here yet. So they said, we're going to go check on board. So I was like, great.
And I'm sitting on board and I see the gate agent show up and start walking through and they paged for him, but nobody rang their call button. But he did walk around.
And my gut tells me that they saw that we had bags and they were checking all remaining bags that they didn't want to take us with bags. So my gut tells me that they went with two open. but didn't put us on because they didn't want to check our bags last minute.
Oh,
I don't know that, but there was nobody rang their call button when they asked.
And that's it. I've just seen that look before in gate agents' faces when they're down at crunch time. And so I was like, and then she did say, she goes, they were on board. And I was like, okay, you know me.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So then
are you sure?
And I'm in row 7. I don't see an open seat, but I'm in row 7. And that was the 737. No, it was a 319.
Yeah. But so we ran back over and the KLM lady, she was so nice. She was like, we're still missing 7 people.
Okay.
And I said, well, just whisper your final announcement. You don't have to actually make it.
Did she laugh?
Yeah, she laughed. And she goes, well, we'll get you in the jump no matter what. She goes, but I'm missing 7.
Oh.
And then a few more people showed up. So we were like, okay, we're going to get on, but I'm nervous about having to take the jump. And then she goes, this party 2 is not here. Well, I'm going to get you in these 2 seats. So we ended up being in 30A and B right next to each other. And yeah.
That sounds better than when you were texting me because you were like, we're not getting out all day.
Yeah.
She was terrible.
And I was like, so this sounds like you're okay. We're going to get on. It's just.
Well, that was like right at the end of boarding though. Okay. So I really didn't know who was showing up. And
did you get de-iced? Because we got de-iced.
We did get de-iced.
Oh, okay.
But it was kind of funny. I've never had flight attendants that were so strict as well about your seatbelt being on. Hmm. I didn't put my seatbelt on. But as they came around, they made us show that we, like, they made Tawny, like, kind of lift up her coat and, like, show her seatbelt was done up.
Wow.
And so when they saw that mine wasn't done up, they were like, put your seatbelt on. I was like, geez, they're very strict over here.
Yes. Your first time on KLM?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good experience.
Did you get a sandwich?
No, they had these oatmeal cookies that were delicious.
Okay.
Yeah, we really enjoyed our cookies.
It seems like the 2 times I've been on, they have like this little cheese sandwich. It's like a cream cheese and bread, which seems simple, but it's really good. Like a honey bread.
When they said our flight was only going to be 45 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if just breakfast time is just the quickest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, and the flight attendant was so cute when she was handing out our food, though. She saw I was watching Selling Sunset. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I like that show. I've seen every episode. So yeah, they were really sweet.
Oh, good. That's what I remember. I was sitting in the lounge in London when you guys were both doing this. I went over to the Aspire Lounge.
Yeah, we tried.
That's the one I tried to get into. Yeah.
We tried to get into the A1 lounge first, and they wouldn't let us in because it was too full. So they sent us to Aspire. And it sounded like it was the opposite for you.
Uh-huh.
Did you go with A1?
Yes, I did.
Was it nice?
It was nice.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh.
When we walked in, it looked nicer than Aspire.
It had the traditional English breakfast.
Yeah,
that's with the beans and with everything and the tomatoes.
So that's what we should tell people, because Tawny and I got denied at the one as well because we didn't have a reservation.
Okay, yeah.
So do you know how to make a reservation?
I think on the Priority Pass, there's a link to it, but I think you have to pay more to make a reservation.
Oh, really?
I think so. I've never done it.
Oh, okay. Because that's what I was like, well, if I would have known we need a reservation,
yeah,
I would have set that up. But
was that the one I was in?
Yeah.
I didn't have a reservation.
See, you must have just like snuck in before.
They probably had a bunch of people leave, so it ended up opening up. So
yeah, we couldn't get into the one, so we just went down to our club.
So you couldn't get into either of the 2 that they had?
I
told them not to even bother Aspire because the queue is so long.
Oh, because you couldn't get in.
Mm, well, we did the Aspire. Is that the one we did on our way out, though? Before we went to Frankfurt, we stopped in a club.
Plaza Premium or something?
Oh, is that that's a whole different terminal.
So that was that your first Priority Pass?
That was my first Priority Pass one, nice. Yes.
My second, because of Panama.
True.
Panama.
But
so I'm sitting in the club and I'm looking and my flight has 17 or 18 lay flat seats open.
Dang.
Going to Dallas. Like you said, 8:30 in the morning, 8:20 in the morning. So early, not many people can connect onto it. British Airways had a handful of early morning landings from like South Africa. But for the most part, it was wide open. And we were like 10 and 11 by the time we got checked in.
Oh, really?
And a few throughs hop on above us. Okay. And then last minute, within the last couple hours, some employee probably, someone, maybe one of Beryl's friends, had a whole family of like 6 employee upgrades.
It was a family?
They're all the same last name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's when you said 8, I was like, that sounds almost like a crew.
There was, that's what I was thinking too. There was 2 already. We already knew there's 2 the night before. I was like, okay.
At 18, you're like, they'll get the first 2, class I'll seats.
We're still good. And then with all of them, it ended up pushing it down. So we ended up being 1 seat open business.
Oh, jeez.
And the next flight, though, went 1 hour later, had 8 seats and lay flat seats open.
Okay.
And I had been telling you, if you can get to that one, then you can get good seats.
We were trying.
And then I was like, I shouldn't have told them. Because you would have beat me on that flight if I didn't.
Oh, because you're a D1T.
Yeah. So you would have beat me. So I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have told my secrets. So we go to the gate. They have one left. Katie gets it. And I say, I'll just roll. It's an hour later.
Yeah.
No big deal.
And still they, meet up in time to make your connection.
Yeah. Still meet. And then they get to the very end and they get all the non-revs on. The flight's wide open.
Yeah.
In the back, but on the flight. And then the manager goes, do you have a checked bag? And I said, yes. And because when we checked it, we had two checked bags. We had one that was a big one because we had all our winter clothes, like the podcast stuff too. And then we had a roller. And I said, we're already checking one. Let's just check two. And when the lady did it, she put one on each instead of putting two on Katie's.
Dang it.
So that mistake cost me like $14,000 of enjoyment.
Yeah, it did.
Because the guy said, we can't roll you. You have to take this one.
Dang it.
And I was like, and the next one, and I looked later, I would have had first class on the next one.
First.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's still, we didn't make it and it still went out with open business.
Seven open, yeah. Six open.
Five or six, yeah.
Yeah. So I would have got first because there wasn't a through on that one yet. And nothing else. Like, so that mistake of not having him put both names, both bags under Katie, just saying, because I didn't even think they're so open at the time.
Yeah.
Make sure you put them both on one name instead of.
Well, yeah. I don't think that's. Know. Yeah. And I think domestically, most of the time, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Domestically, yeah. But on that international, so you've got to stick with your bag. So that.
I was so depressed though, because I was like, we're going to get seats. I know that. You guys, because you're more limited, because by the time you got to London, of what was open, chasing those seats, it was...
Yeah, I could have made that one with the first.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go to Tina's Christmas party. If I took the nonstop, I would make Tina's Christmas party.
So they came up and he said, all right, so I can put you in a four row by yourself or an empty row, but you have a window. And I should have said the four.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I said, put me in the window. Like the window. And by the time I got back there, a flight attendant had moved someone into that empty row.
As a gate agent, that's a pet peeve of mine.
And so I get
there. Until the door closes.
I got there and the lady's sitting there in the window and he put me in the middle. And I was like, you're in my seat. And she's like, oh, she already moved me. And I was like, so the flight attendant comes up and I was like, okay, well, there's the row of four. I'll just take that. She goes, those are ours. And she goes,
was it the last row?
There was the last two rows.
Oh, yeah. We take the last two rows. Uh-huh.
But the gate agent was going to put me in one of them.
Too bad she didn't.
So I didn't even think hey, put me. Because I was like, oh, window, open row. And so she goes, just sit in this aisle. And I was like, I wanted a window. I was told. So I had went from rolling into a business seat. Even my name had been rolled to that flight. If you look back, my name.
It's a decline next to your name.
And on the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I declined to go to that one. And so, yeah, I was just sitting in a window seat. I mean, I still got home, but
no, I get doing that, it. Yeah.
I joke, I said, I felt like I was in timeout. Like I had to just sit and think about what I had done. And in the back, the food is just soggy breakfast, the soggy English breakfast that they served.
Oh, I liked our food.
Ours was just...
Oh, and, we had balls of meat and pumpkin curry. You were more
lunchtime.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because we're lunchtime.
And... The screens on the 300s, they're older in the back. It's just like, I was just like, ugh.
Why did I check a bag?
It was a long flight.
And then you got to Dallas.
Yeah, we got to Dallas and I had booked it. So we had 4 hours. You could have made that one and still got your party. It's because we went three flights later when it really started to open up. And we went and got a massage at the massage place. We went to the restaurant with the party pass and got the nachos with barbecue, so brisk on it. And then Katie went and got another massage at a different place. And I showered in the club. And so it was good.
Well, we were running because you told us about that. And I was looking and I was telling Tony, babe, if we could get there, we're going to get good seats.
If you didn't have a hard stand, you would have made it.
Well, that and...
You were delayed. You didn't take off your departure time because I think you had a de-ice.
Yeah, we had a de-ice. And then we had, because of... London's how busy they were, they'd also ATC had limited when we could get in, which made that even late. And then we landed, we had to change terminals, which if you're transiting in London, give yourself extra time if you got to change terminals, because it took a very long time.
I've never been to Florida. Do you even have shuttles that go from Florida inside?
Well, there is. So, there was a spot for a bus to Terminal 3.
Okay.
But the girl said, what plane or like what flight are you on? So we told her, and she goes, just hurry and get on this one. It'll get you there quicker.
Okay.
So we got on one that took us to 5, who then we had to get off that bus and get on another bus. And we were like, I was just seeing the time like ticking. And I was they're going to start releasing seats soon. If we're not there, they're going to work the list, and then they're not going to go back to us. No. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to take people out of those seats. So I was starting to panic. But then I started to see they're still going to be open, even if we can get there.
Yeah.
We don't have checked bags.
Yeah.
Like, I was already like planning my whole script. I was like, I would have run up and just be like, we're non-revs. Please put us like on this. Just roll us. We have no bags. But by the time, and then I was like, I bet we have to go back through security.
Do you have to?
Yeah. So by the time we roll up into Terminal 3 now, we get out, and I'm like, there's no way we're going to get through security to get over the gate in time. So at that point, I knew we'd already missed it. I was bummed because I was like, dang it. Like, we could have had really good seats.
But I was like, I don't ever want to go through the Mecca on a Sunday. There's just, you know, you say, oh, you would have made it. Well, does it? Who knows? There's weather, there's mechanicals, there's
through
it's
Dallas?
The Mecca. Is always a mess for me. I was like, no, I'll just take the nonstop.
We realize we're not going to do it. So we see one of like the recheck-in centers and there's an agent there. So I go, okay, let's just go add our through status on right now. Let's just get that done. I go up to her and she goes, well, there's no real reason for me to add the through. You're just going to stay where you're at on the list.
What?
Yeah, and I tried to say
I was patient. Number one at that point. And at that point, I was number one on the list.
Yeah, I was like, no, it will. I want to be like, there's two reasons to add the through.
Yeah, for us, huge reasons,
One, I am going to go on the top of the list because I was the first checked in person on this flight. So once you add the through, I'm going to go back to the top.
Yeah.
And two, I want the taxes coming out of Amsterdam instead of out of London.
Yeah.
That's 191 out of London right now.
And I think it was like 68, 70... out of Amsterdam.
Yeah.
So she goes, okay. And she does it. And then she goes, oh yeah, that did put you at the top. I was like, yeah, thank you.
How many strokes is it to put that in?
It looks
seven.
Like it looked like it took a little bit.
If you know what you're doing, it's not.
Yeah.
And that's it. The whole time she's doing it, I'm sitting there going, please don't uncheck me. Please don't uncheck. Oh. Like, please do it the right way. Please do it the right way.
You think London does it every day. Like, every flight, they've got people through
they've
passengers.
They've got to have through passengers. Yeah, so they're adding like that. Yeah.
Where were you at again? The ticket counter or where?
We were right after security.
Oh, okay.
Because I know
so
there's
it wasn't the ticket counter. It was a...
Yeah, because you can check your bags in and then go to security, like a recheck area. I'm like, we're not checking our bags. And I still, at this point, even go through security, was like, if we hurry, we can make it. Got that. Yeah, we went to our club for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then went to the gate. And there was a bunch of upgrades on the list. And
like eight upgrades.
Yeah. And so I was like, there was one business open. I was like, we're not going to get that.
Yeah.
And then we were sitting there. It was weird too, because they scan everyone on as you go into like
a room,
like a holding area, like would be like our boarding area. And normally for us, we don't scan you on until you actually are like walking on the plane almost.
Yeah.
So that was kind of bizarre to me, but they had us just wait right next to their like desk inside that area. And we can hear them chatting and they're saying, well, the next two people on the upgrade list are like coming in late. They weren't going to almost make it.
Oh, nice.
And then the people below them were using miles. And our policy, at least in the United States, like in Phoenix, is once they've boarded, we don't have them come back off to pay for an upgrade. So I'm like, these people are probably already boarded. So if that party of two doesn't show up, we're going to get that business seat because they're not going to go on board and get them. Right. And it's not going to go to one of these two. So I was like, well, heck yeah, we may get one of us may get a lay flat on here. And then there was a party of four who had declined going into premium.
Okay.
Because they couldn't all get up there. So I was like thinking, one of us is getting in business, one is getting premium.
Okay.
And I haven't talked very kindly about premium, even though I've never like taken it internationally. But at this point I was like, premium sounds great.
Yeah.
Because I already looked at the seat map and there weren't a lot of great seats open in the back. But people below us on the list were getting like aisles and windows and things like that. But I was like,
you're getting the good
I already had a seat.
Yeah, Laura had got an aisle with a
seat. Well, she picked. Yeah, as soon as I got off my British Airways flight, I went over to the ticket counter, had her add my D1T. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I might as well check this big swollen bag because it's going to get checked anyway. So she goes, okay, I have to give you a seat assignment in order to check the bag. So she gave me a seat assignment. She goes, how about if I give you this seat? They had a basic economy girl that was traveling with a bunch of people that were in the middle section, and they put her in the window section or in the middle. You know how they put basic economy in the middle?
Yeah.
And so she's, why don't I give you the aisle seat there? And then when you get on board, you could just move to the window and move her next to her friends in the aisle and then have the middle seat open. I'm like, oh, that sounds good. So I already had a seat.
Yeah.
I'm up at the lounge with a seat assignment. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not in premium economy or basic or, and then she said, when you get to the gate, she goes, you can ask and see how it's going if you want a better seat. And I said, oh, okay, that's fair. So meanwhile, I was getting on the plane and Monique texts me, bye, Lara. And I'm like, well, where are you?
Well, it's, well, we could see your hair boarding, and I was like, I'm going to go let her get on. But yeah, we're sitting there watching this going, okay, we're going to like get some decent seats. The party of four declined premium. So I'm like, worst case, we're getting premium economy.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, she'd done some upgrades, and then that opened up some premium economy. And so the gate agent had her partner go down on the plane and ask this party of four if they wanted to move into premium now that all four. And I was like, I get that paying passengers should come first, but once they've declined it, in my mind, you move on. Like you don't, there's no going back. So, but she did. It took them forever to go down and figure out what they were going to take. In the meantime, now the party of two that could get upgraded show up. So they take business, and they ended up actually both getting business, which I was like, God dang it. So we went from not getting any business, any premium, and we're stuck in the middle section in two middles.
They were in the middle.
So, and so it's a 3-4-3 configuration on this one. And we were the two centers in the middle section.
Were people next to you?
Yeah.
Oh.
So not even like a phone. Yeah. So we were squished in the middle section. Luckily, we were next to each other. So that was nice. So we could kind of lay.
At least you could sit, sit next to her.
And we did say like, it does make a difference when you're with your person because you can.
Was there extra leg room a little bit?
We were, yes.
Okay. That's a big difference on those flights.
We did have the extra leg room. But when you have so much stuff, like we have like, I had my coat, which was all that. Like you just, it feels like you have so much stuff.
Main cabin extra. That's where you were.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it was just kind of a bummer.
Me too. I could feel a difference. Yeah.
It's just a bummer to be in that section.
Yeah.
And then she turns around and there I am in my glory in the window seat with no one next to me.
And we're looking at like a retiree in an aisle with an open seat next to him. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And we were literally the first two on the standby list. So I was like.
Well, they wanted to get you together though.
Well, that's what I was like. You still could have put us together in an aisle in the middle next to each other.
Oh.
We didn't have to be in that middle section together.
Yeah.
If you're going to give someone else like, anyway. We got home. It was early enough that we felt like we still had kind of the evening to recover. We still went to bed by like 6:30, but whatever.
And Tani had to go to work.
Yeah. That was the thing is we had to get home. I knew we were both exhausted just to get home Sunday night instead of having to make another layover. Because we could have taken LA later. It had like, we weren't going to get good like lay flat seats on that one, but it had like 150 open in the back.
Yeah. So stretch out.
Yeah. So I knew we'd be in the back with more room, but I was just thinking an extra
leg.
An extra leg.
On Sunday night. On Sunday night.
Yeah. I just was like, let's just get home at that point.
I get it.
So anyway, that's.
I know. Meanwhile, the flight attendant that served us, Tammy and I are partying at the Christmas party. I didn't get home till midnight. It was so fun. It was a great party.
You were very excited to go to that party.
So before we left and I was in LA sitting in the massage chair and I called Katie and I said, I'm in the massage chair. And she's still working like till the last minute.
Yeah, she was.
And she was kind of annoyed, but unmeaningly she, I don't know that's what we were. She didn't mean to, but she got me back because we landed in Dallas and I had been annoyed for 9.5 hours. And the first message I get for her is like, I don't even like any of this business class food. And I was like, oh my gosh, like,
oh no,
stop.
Just like rubbing it in, like, you don't even know what I had to eat back here. So, and then I went back and looked. That's how I knew, like you said, don't back and lie. I went back to see, and that's when I saw that I would have had the first. And I was like,
first,
and just like made my self-pity even worse. Merry Christmas. I told her. I said, hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, Katie made out. She was the best one. She got
both ways.
Uh-huh. Yeah, lay flats or pods both directions.
I got the next one. Sorry. I got the next best one.
You got dips? Oh, no, you got premium and then
the window.
And I got the window with no one next to me.
I had first and a window with no one next to me. So
that's nice. Yeah, but going back, you were not so lucky.
I was still a window with a metal next to him, but compared to what I should have had was.
Yeah, but you didn't have. Did you have a window going back?
Yeah.
From London?
Yeah, because I there's a guy in an aisle, so I took the middle, or the window, and hit the middle open.
Okay.
So, yeah, could have been worse, but should have been a lot better.
So that's when I don't know if I can ask Laura, I guess, if this works. When I assign out seats to non-revs, I try to put them in the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
Because then I say people are less likely to jump into your row. Are you less likely to try to move people around into a window?
If you want them to keep the whole row to themselves, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like when you're moving passengers around after the door shuts, are you looking to see where your non-revs are at? Or you haven't even looked, you don't care at that point?
I don't really care about the non-revs at that point. The reason why, if I'm moving anyone, I'm moving so that people with babies will have a little more room.
Okay.
And then I'm moving people out of those last two rows.
So that we can sit down. If you see an open window, like a person just in an aisle, you may put someone in that window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, dang it. I know. So should I be assigning the middle seat then? Because I want him to have that full row.
That's what they put me in the middle, thinking that would get me. But by the time I got there, the flight was already.
I just tell him, sit real big.
Sit big. Yeah.
I did that anyways.
I said, put your stuff everywhere. I said, you need to claim that area. That is yours.
And I brought my tablet so I could see what seats were available. Oh, that was helpful.
If I block them, does it look like it's not available to you?
I don't know. You're going to have to show me. You're going to have to block a seat next time I check in at your gate.
Yeah.
You have to block one. Let me see what it looks like on my tablet.
Okay, because maybe I'll do that then just to make sure my non-revs keep their good seats.
That would be kind of nice.
Yeah.
All right. We made it back. We all made it back. We all enjoyed Christmas markets.
We did, yeah.
And Christmas stuff. So
you guys enjoy Christmas yourselves at home.
Are you telling us to, or are you talking to our listeners?
I'm talking to the listeners. But I'm sure the two of you will have a nice Christmas.
Yeah, I hope everyone does. I'm going to say sorry to Staff Traveler. I know that they had...
Sorry, Guillermo.
He had went out of... I know he had COVID, so it probably wouldn't work anyways, but he had really went out of his way to set up a place for us to record with him, and really, we had tried to let him know early so that they could work their schedules around it, and so I apologize to him. We're really grateful to them for Staff Traveler and what they do for our podcast and for all non-revs that use their site. Even on that flight, when I was flying to London from LA, and I was talking to Christy, the flight attendant, and she's like, make sure you tell them thank you, because their product, their app is such a good tool for people like us.
For sure, yes.
And as we reached out, we got a bunch of people that sent us some questions to ask them. So I'm hoping we'll hold on to a few of those. But people have just kept telling us how much they enjoy the app, how much better having that app is, and that tool for non-revs to be able to get where they need to go. So thank you for having that for us and for supporting our podcast. And we need to change it because Madeline wrote us.
Oh, good.
Because in our outro thing, and we have it, it says that they have 60,000.
Right? Now it's 700, isn't it?
Well, it was 600,000, and now it's 700,000. So they keep growing.
Extra 100,000. Think about that.
I feel like they just changed it. Yeah, so they're growing fast, and that's what we need so we can get...
It just makes the product better.
Yeah, because the more people that are answering loads and helping us so we can get those numbers to find out where we're going, so... share with your friends if you've got other people don't have it. Get them signed up. Get especially your foreign carriers. So anyone that has access to loads that can use it, get sign them up and get them on board. And so more people that do, it helps us.
Yep. We can still get a hold of us at nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com. Everybody stay safe.
Have a good holiday. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. This episode was sponsored by Staff Traveler, which is the number one app to get your non-rev loads. It is used by over 700,000 people from all airlines the world over and built to make your non-rev trips easy and stress-free. Sign up now for free at stafftraveler.com/non-rev lounge.
Yeah, because going, I thought our crew was great. They were very sweet to us.
I had the same flight attendant both ways. Tammy was my flight attendant going out, and she was my flight attendant coming back. So like this, every time she got like the when we were coming back to the States, she said she got to me. She goes, "Do you want another Goose Island IPA?" I go, "Yes, please." And then she came back again. She goes, "Are you one ready?" She tried to give me two right off the bat. I go, "No, no, no, that's too many." And so then when she came back again, I said, "Can you give me the one I'm going to regret?"
That wasn't the one that the sleeper, though.
No, that was not the sleeper. Tammy's not the sleeper. We won't say the sleeper's name. Patty!
Look at that dip dip. Teabagging it.
You're talking to me or Laura?